plastic waste and our disposable habits, they're a huge problem. We're talking about using products that last a lifetime to help our planet and save money. The founder of Buy Me Once is on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So at a time when our homes have become the center of our lives, we're looking around and wondering if our stuff is practical and long-lasting. I just bought a new bed frame handmade by a woodworker in Iowa, I may add, who's found an encore career in retirement. He's delivering it this week. I also found a new home for my old bed frame. I hope this new frame will last for decades. What product or item did you invest in that will last you a lifetime? Have you inherited things that were made well and meant to last? We're at 800-642-1234. Tara Button founded Buy Me Once, which aims to encourage and promote items that are built to last and are responsibly manufactured. She wrote the book, A Life Less Throwaway. Tara, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Well, tell us the story. How did a baby blue La Creuset pot fundamentally change your life?
Yeah, it's such a funny story because you don't expect a piece of cookware to fundamentally turn your life upside down and change its direction. But that's what happened to me. I was working in advertising, so I was kind of on the flip side of what I'm doing now, is trying to persuade people to buy everything and anything and as much as possible and not think about it too much. I think one of my briefs was to get people to buy more chocolate for their children, which is pretty awful. One of my brands was La Creuset. And if you don't know who La Creuset are, they make these amazing lifetime warrantied heirloom pots. And I was given one for my 30th birthday. And it was the experience of using it that made me realize that everything else that I owned in my life was very temporary, very throwaway. And I wished that everything that I owned was like this pot. Mm. So I went looking for a place where I could get like the La Creuset of everything, something that would last a really long time, that was perfectly beautiful, that I could tick off my shopping list forever. And it didn't exist. And I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. This should definitely exist. And that's when I decided to found Buy Me Once. So it does what it says on the tin. Everything that we find for the website is as long lasting as possible. And it made me realize that if we change the way that we shop, like if we bought for the longest possible time, the waste that we produce in this world would drastically come down, because it means that, you know, one pot instead of 10 pots need to be kind of dug out of the ground and manufactured and wrapped and taken across the ocean and put into a shop. And, you know, all of the energy and all of the waste that involved in manufacturing can be cut out if we buy for a long time.
Do you find that the items you come across, the items you research, are more and more cheaply made, disposable, not meant to last?
It seems to be going in both directions at the same time, which is quite interesting. There's definitely a big movement towards craftsmanship and authenticity. I think people are sick of poorly made goods from overseas. And so there's definitely a kind of a counter movement against that. And those are the people who, you know, really care about their product lasting a long time. That's when we start to get the really amazing long warranties, like the lifetime warranties that actually mean that they will take it back and fix it if anything goes wrong. So more and more, for example, if you look on Kickstarter, you'll find quite a lot of new companies that really care about the way that their products are made and moving in that direction. But obviously, at the same time, you have generally larger companies trying to get their bottom line as big as possible by undercutting the quality of their goods. Like every year, they'll be like, how can we make this 10% cheaper? How can we make this 10% cheaper? And you can't do that for many years before you undermine the basic quality of the goods, because you're making them with cheaper materials and, unfortunately, usually undermining the ethics of how the products are made. So not paying people properly. And that's where you get desperate situations where people really not paid very well.
We're talking with Tara Button, who founded the site Buy Me Once. It helps consumers identify long-lasting products. We're thinking differently about the stuff all around us this hour. With your questions, do you search for long-lasting, good-quality products? What guidance do you need in this area? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tara, what goes into your research when you're looking at various products and manufacturing standards? What are you looking for?
So we have a kind of five-step process. What we really want is people who make their products with the best quality materials for the job. So, for example, we might look into what is the best material for this particular item. And it might be a question of making it out of 2010 steel or a particular type of wood or a particular type of leather. So it's about the materials. Then it's about the way that the product is constructed. So, for example, with furniture, if furniture is constructed in a certain way, it's practically indestructible. But, you know, if it's made really cheaply and just glued together in a fiddly type way, it can get wobbly within, you know, one move or, you know, a few years. And then it's about looking at the aftercare service. So does the company take care of the product after they've sold it to you? So many companies are just like, just flog it, and, you know, get it out to the people, and then we'll just completely forget about customer service. Right. We're looking for the companies that will take care of their products for years after. You know, for example, Duluth Pack is still fixing the backpacks that they sell like 100 years after they've sold it.
Wow.
Which is extraordinary. And that's the type of company that we want to come across.
And that's certainly also, I'm going to just pause there for a moment, that really also gives the employees at that company a lot of pride, I would imagine, and ownership over the origin story of what they're trying to produce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can tell the companies that really take pride in what they're making, because they shout about it. And that's the type of company that we want to celebrate at Buy Me Once.
And what is that final step? I know I cut you off short there on your process.
Well, that's about ethics. So, you know, making sure that it's manufactured in a way that doesn't hurt people and planet. So we give kudos to the companies that make products with renewable resources or maybe out of a waste product. There's an amazing cookware brand actually from Wisconsin, West Bend, Wisconsin, called 360 Cookware. And their factory is all run off renewable energy. So they're making these amazing pieces of cookware out of steel that have a lifetime warranty. But also, you know, they didn't have to harm the planet to make them, and they'll last a lifetime, which is brilliant. It's like end to end good.
Yeah. And so you're looking very holistically at the product itself, at that item itself, and really looking at even just beyond whether it serves its purpose.
Absolutely. I think you know, there's been a lot of focus in the eco world on recycling, mm-hmm. but actually, recycling is kind of the second to last worst thing you can do. Like, just throwing it into landfill, that's the worst thing you can do. Recycling it is better than that, but it still takes a lot of energy. You have to collect all the things together. You have to separate it, sort it, you know, melt it down, make it into something else. But, you know, that's still taking resources and energy. Whereas if you just have the product doing the job that it was supposed to do in the first place for a bit longer, that's when you get huge savings in terms of its environmental impact.
Tara Button wrote the book called A Life Less Throwaway. She's on a mission to help us buy long-lasting quality products, reduce waste. In what ways have you been able to be frugal or less focused on material items in the pandemic? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the circular economy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's about generating less from extracting new resources and more from getting better use out of the resources we already have. The 2020 Global E-Waste Monitor is a project of the United Nations, and it says by 2030, the amount of e-waste will almost double from 2014 levels due to the continued growth of the global middle class that can afford more and more electronic gadgets. How do you get more life out of your electronics and the gadgets you have? Are you trying to eliminate waste and wasteful spending? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tara Button founded the site Buy Me Once in 2016, and she's our guide. So, Tara, let's look at the electronics and electronic waste and our, you know, just our buying amid the pandemic. Amazon sales have increased a lot. The company reported $88 billion in sales in the second quarter. Overall shopping online is way up. How can we be better consumers and buy long-lasting products when we're shopping online and we can't touch them?
Yeah, I think the not touching thing is key, actually. It is one of the downsides of shopping online is that you don't get to really feel something and really think about how it's going to fit well into your life. But there are ways around that, I think. For me, it's about being intentional rather than reactive. So I think it's really easy to, on the spur of the moment, get something because it's being sold to you on Instagram, or it kind of pops into your head and you're like, oh, I'll just get one of these. And so you can end up impulse buying quite a lot. And that's when you end up with a house full of stuff that you don't realize how it got there. You know, how is there so much clutter in my house? The average American has something like 300,000 products. And, you know, it builds up kind of in this almost zombie-like way where you don't realize how much you're actually taking into your life. So what I recommend is taking a step back and looking at what you have already, and then making a plan as to how you're going to buy, what you want to buy, and what is going to bring the most gratification and happiness into your life, rather than just kind of pleasure, because we all get a little bit of a buzz from doing a little bit of online shopping.
That's true.
Thinking about the things that are really going to help us into the long term, the things that are going to kind of be worth taking care of and that will take care of us into the long term, rather than something that will give us a little bit of initial pleasure but then just become something else to tidy up. I think it's about realizing that we're constantly being sold to, and making sure that everything that we bring into our life is something that we've really decided on for ourselves, rather than being told by someone else we should get.
So I'm hearing, like, be more deliberate, be more intentional, maybe slow down a bit when we're about to buy something.
Yes. I mean, if this is something that kind of resonates with you, for listeners out there, you know, if you end up buying a little bit more than you mean to, then putting a kind of 24-hour rule on your online shopping is quite a good one, kind of having a little bit of a cool down period, if that makes sense, because a lot of us will buy something in the heat of the moment and then regret it a little while afterwards. So just putting a little bit of a pause button to make sure that it's going to fit into your life, it's going to fit into your home, and that it's going to last for a really long time. You know, have a little bit of a checklist of things that you want from a product, and make sure that the product that you buy meet your own standards, and you know, make sure that you're buying the things that are really going to see you well into the future.
Yeah, that distance is so interesting. I mean, I'll put some stuff into the cart and then walk away from it. And a couple days later, I go back and look what's in the cart. I'm like, what's this? Like, what was I? You know? We have Tara Button, who is committed to making smart and intentional purposes, reducing waste along the way. She founded Buy Me Once, and we're learning about this approach to sustainable living. You can join in with your insights, your questions about this approach. 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mo joining us from Oconto this morning. Hi, Mo.
Good morning, ladies. I have a thought buying from secondhand shops. You can buy some brand new clothing almost for almost nothing, and that isn't going to the landfill. You're reusing it. It's already been made. And another thing is to go to grandma's and raid her basement. She has things like cookware you were talking about that, boy, beautiful stuff. And cooking with grandma's stuff is so nice.
I love that, Mo. And certainly the attachment to a family heirloom or something that's been in the family. What do you think of that, Tara, of buying secondhand? What are you seeing there?
Wholeheartedly embrace everything that Mo just said. Buying secondhand is one of the best things you can do. And it's actually a really great way of getting high quality items for a lower cost. So often what I do, I've just had a baby in May. Huh. And there's a huge amount of buying that you have to do for a new baby. You know, you have to get cots and high chairs and all sorts of things. So what I did is I went through the process that I always do when I'm going to buy something, which is to look at my criteria, my buy me once criteria, what's going to be really durable and do as well. And then I'll find those brands. And if at all possible, I'll then find those brands online and on eBay or on another site where you can buy it secondhand. And the great thing is that because they're such high quality to begin with, because those brands you have that high quality, I can buy them for less online and then I might then be able to sell it on and it's still going to be in good condition.
And retains its value, and you know that product was well made in the first place. So what you're getting, yes, it's used, but it's in very good working order.
Exactly. And I would say, you know, definitely go secondhand first. Go secondhand first and then buy new afterwards.
I want to ask you about electronics because that is a very tricky category where our technology changes rapidly. And even to keep up with the software that is needed for our work and for our daily lives, there is this, you know, just this cycle of updates. And that means also sometimes buying that new phone or buying that new laptop or buying that new, you know, iPad. How can you help us there?
I think this is probably the trickiest category because you're completely right. It's constantly changing and the software is constantly changing. And, you know, what these products can do gets faster and faster, you know, every couple of years. So what I would say is that if at all possible, when you do need to upgrade an electronics, go for as large a memory as you can so that you're then not having to upgrade every kind of 1 to 2 years. It might be more kind of like 4 to 5 to 6 years. So, you know, there's no easy answers. But there are now brands out there that are looking into trying to solve this problem. So, for example, on Buy Me Once, we have the TerraCube phone, which is one of the most reliable smartphones that you can get. And it has a 4-year warranty, which is pretty much unheard of in the smartphone. It still feels really short to me. I would like 10-year warranties, but I'm aware that, you know, the technology moves so fast that actually a 4-year warranty is pretty amazing. And they include a battery upgrade within that. So they are actually trying to solve the problem of, you know, buying an iPhone and the battery dying pretty much within 18 months to 2 years and then being forced to buy a whole new phone because replacing the battery is super expensive. So there are brands trying to solve the problem, but for me, they're few and far between, and I'd like to see more.
Is there a way to also buy used in this category of electronics? You know, but not buy a new phone, but have a refurbished product?
Definitely go for refurbished products. But again, what I would say is to try and find refurbished products with a decent amount of memory so that you're then not going to be forced to buy a new one within, you know, 6, 10, 12 months because, you know, it's slowed down because of software upgrades.
Is there any way to know where our phone or electronics goes when we put it into the recycling box that's it's supposed to go in?
I think it probably depends on your state and even your county. I mean, even here in the UK, and we're a much smaller country than the US, you know, each individual little county has different processes, and it's one of the things that's actually hampering our ability to recycle effectively is all of these different regions. What I would like to see is a collective national project to make sure that as much as possible all the e-waste is reused and recycled. What I'd also like to see is a national stamp on every single piece of electronics saying how long they expect it to last. So we can then make a decision, say, well, okay, so this laptop is guaranteed to last 5 years and this one's guaranteed to last 10 years. Which one is better for me? I can now tell what's good value for money.
Tara Button wants to help us invest in quality products, reduced waste in the process. You can join into the conversation, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the longevity with the products we use. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Came across a recent report by the Pew Charitable Trust that said a circular economy approach for the plastics industry has the potential to reduce the annual global volume of plastics entering our oceans by over 80%, generate savings of $200 billion a year, reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 25%, and create hundreds of thousands of new jobs over the next couple decades. How are you cutting down on the items you send to landfill? During COVID, have you changed your philosophy toward material items? How so? It's 800-642-1234. Tara Button founded the website Buy Me Once. It's a marketplace for items that are built to last, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Steve is with us from Richland Center. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Doing well. What item do you have lingering for decades?
I have a coffee percolator that my great-grandmother gave me. It was built in about 1920-some, and I still use the thing. I use it all the time. And I've noticed my son, he gets these Mr. Coffees, these fancy coffee makers. They last 4 or 5 years. Boom, they're down the road, and he gets a new one. It's like this thing just sits on the stove and makes coffee every day. The best thing I've ever had.
I was going to say, how's the coffee?
It's good coffee. I mean, coffee is what you buy, basically. But, yeah, no coffee filters. Just you got to sift through some grounds, but, hey, it's a good coffee.
What does it look like? What is it made of?
It's kind of an old brass, or maybe, I don't know exactly. It looks copper, but I think it's more of a brass, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Tara, what do you make of this coffee percolator?
That's exactly the type of product that we are now trying to find now. That the things that, you know, in the future, your grandchild will still be using and making coffee from. So we go scouring for the types of products that don't have like a weakest link. For so often these products, especially electronics products, you know, they have little bits inside them that there's so much to go wrong that you just know that, you know, in a couple of years something will have failed and you'll end up having to buy a new one because they're so super complex to fix as well. So we're looking for those products that are, you know, simple and timeless and well made, so that, you know, literally in the future your great great grandchildren could be making coffee from them.
Yeah. Steve, thanks so much for calling in with that. We heard from Jen in Wausau, called in, couldn't stay with us. So Jen's a gardener, does a lot of canning, uses jars for everything, including water, and says people don't need to buy plastic water bottles, use the glass. What are you seeing there, Tara, in our consumption of plastic and glass?
Well, the good news is that I think that the world as a whole, well, a lot of the world has woken up to the problem around single-use plastic. I think it's called like the Blue Planet Effect, the amazing documentary. Really gave people an insight into the damage that single-use plastic is doing to our oceans. Plastic itself, I don't feel it potentially deserves to be vilified in the way that it is. A lot of useful things are made out of plastic, not to mention medical things made out of plastic. But it's the single use that, for me, is the problem. Where there doesn't need to be, you know, a single use. We don't need every water bottle to be thrown away. We can take our own water bottle, and that can be made out of plastic too, but we can wash it and use it again. So I think it's about reassessing why we are using all of the single-use plastic. A lot of the time it's about convenience, and so it's about changing habits. Here in the UK, when they put a bag tax on our plastic bags of 5p, so like 5p, it actually reduced the amount of single-use plastic by like 90%. So it's just about getting people to change their habits a little bit more and keeping up that pressure to know that it's worth it for our oceans, because if the oceans die, us on Earth are going to die too.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems that we're encountering here is that, you know, as the pandemic surges, COVID cases go up, there's so much more takeout from restaurants because you're not wanting to be seated indoors and you're coming in, grabbing your food and going. And that makes for a whole lot of more disposable trash from that food.
Yeah, it is a problem. And the trouble is that people aren't set up at the moment to have reusable, washable systems. There are companies that are beginning to come in to try and experiment in this space. But as far as I'm aware, they haven't managed to make as much of an inroads as they need to get the whole system working, whereby we get used to, for example, taking our own crockery to a restaurant for them to fill up our own Tupperware, or for them to have a kind of circular system of drop-off where we pick up our takeout in reusable containers and then we drop them off somewhere and then they're washed, you know, really well and become part of that system. That's the type of system that really needs to happen. And but, you know, as well as the restaurants coming together, it will take probably government intervention for that to happen.
Tara Button is the author of the book, A Life Less Throwaway, The Lost Art of Buying for Life. We're discussing moving away from a disposable goods economy, taking your insights and your questions about how you do this. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made changes in how you consume during the pandemic? How are they working out? Are you living more frugally or spending less on items that you may not need long term? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Tara, I want to move to fashion, the clothes that we wear, because fashion is another thing, you know, especially fast fashion, where we're disposing items too soon in their lifespan. How would you approach fashion, and also for the kids who keep growing out of their clothes?
Yeah, so fashion is the ultimate buy me once conundrum, because fashion's always changing, and clothing is one of the biggest waste makers. I think each of us buys like a big wheelie suitcase of clothes every year at the moment, and that creates huge amount of waste. And we only wear 20% of what's in our wardrobe, apparently. I think a lot of us can have the feeling of opening our wardrobes and feeling like we have nothing to wear, even though the wardrobe's absolutely stuffed. And I would say that the reason why this happens is that we're buying clothes on impulse. We're not being intentional enough in the way that we buy our clothes. And therefore, we're buying things like, oh, that will do just for now, things that we don't necessarily love. And then we just feel like we don't actually have stuff to wear. So I would say, again, take a step back and really get to know your own sense of style. This involves getting your colors done, for example. So knowing which colors next to your skin look absolutely brilliant with your eyes and your hair, getting to know the shapes that look really good on your own body shape, and like studying yourself and like making a list of things. So, you know, I know that if I wear a teal dress in a sweetheart neckline that's cut just below the knee, that is going to look good on me every time because that suits my my body shape and it suits my skin tone. So getting to know yourself is key, and then only buy the things that you know you're going to want to wear again and again and again. So many of us buy things and then only wear it once or twice. I've heard horror stories about people who can't be bothered to wash their t-shirt, so they buy a new pack of five, which is absolutely insane and so wasteful. So what we want is to get to a point where you open your wardrobe, you open your closet, and it's full of clothes that you absolutely adore and want to wear day in, day out, and that are able to keep up with that wash cycle. So I don't know if you get these socks that go crispy or get holes in them and they're just so depressing. That's what we want to avoid. What you want to do is like find the sock brands out there that make really soft socks that can wash like 100 times and still be absolutely perfect. And they're the socks that you reach for first as soon as they're washed because they're so cozy. I found a brand that make a sock like that. They're called Darn Tough. They're made in the USA.
I'm familiar with those. Life. Yeah, I think I have one pair.
And are they the ones that you always reach to because they're so good?
They are. Like so many things, though, it was an investment. These were more expensive socks, but I thought, you know, I'll give it a try. And they are super soft and holding up just fine after many washes.
And that's what kind of what we want for everything in our wardrobe, something that you absolutely adore. And, you know, if you have a particular fashion sense that you want to follow, then go for it. But, you know, try and find really high quality makers of things that really suit you. And, you know, your true taste, the taste that doesn't really change over time in terms of, you know, what you think looks really cute, then you know, really kind of yield to your own sense of style. And that gives you your own identity as well, which I think is really special.
We're discussing the circular economy with Tara Button. This is where we intend to not just recycle stuff, but reuse it. Repurposed items win out. Do you shop secondhand shops or scour your local Craigslist for items? Why do you shop this way? Do you try to cut down on buying things that are shipped to you? What do you think of how items are packaged? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tara Button here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Tara Button. She's helping us to think long term about our material possessions, make use of items that stand the test of time, that are well made, helping us reject fast fashion and this disposable economy. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, food and packaging containers collectively accounts for almost 45% of landfill waste in our country. Something to think about. Let's bring in Matt now, joining us from Nisida. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. So my comment is learning how to repair things is a pretty awesome life skill and can see, I don't know how many thousands of dollars fixing things has saved me. Our dryer stopped working and I went on YouTube. I wasn't quite sure what was wrong with it and pretty sure you can learn how to do absolutely anything on YouTube. my brother gave me advice once. He's like, if you make it worse, well, it was broke anyway. And there's always somebody who can either fix it or just get a new one because you're going to have to do it anyway. Might as well try to fix it.
All right. So you fixed your dryer. What else?
cars multiple times, even simple things, learning how to do, you know, an oil change or saving money as well as, you know, longevity maintenance will make your car last longer. So fitting in with the theme of things lasting longer, just maintaining what you have, learning how to do the simple maintenance tasks can prolong life of your goods.
Yeah, going step by step there. Tara, what do you think about Matt's approach, you know, calling up how to do it online and doing it yourself to repair those things?
I say bravo, Matt. Well done. Absolutely brilliant. That's exactly the kind of thing that we want to encourage at Buy Me Once. And what we also want to encourage is for companies to make their products fixable. One of the most scandalous things, I think, for me is when companies purposefully make products, you know, like dryers and washing machines unfixable. For example, you get washing machines where if the bearings break, which is kind of one of the most common product problems with washing machines, because the whole drum is sealed inside the washing machine, you would have to break the washing machine to fix it, which makes absolutely no sense. And I think is like criminal. You know, we need to be able to fix our products because otherwise it's incredibly wasteful. So yeah, learning how to fix our clothes and definitely learning how to fix little things around the house is such a money saver, and it's brilliant.
Keith from Two Rivers called in, couldn't stay with us. In high school during the early 70s, Keith says his class on electronics had an engineer as a guest speaker who worked on toasters, and it was that engineer's job to create products with planned obsolescence. So they were planning for things to break and be replaced decades ago, way back then in the 70s. What do you make of that?
Well, unfortunately, it's a kind of crazy situation that capitalism has brought into us, where it makes sense for companies to make products worse so that we have to buy them again. And the problem is that when a product breaks, we have this moment of anger and annoyance, but we're not all having this moment together. So we don't all then rail at the company all at the same time going, make your products better, okay? Otherwise, we're going to stop buying from you, because we all have them at like different times, all spread out. It never comes to that point. And I think that it's really important that we put pressure on companies to make their products last longer, because otherwise, you know, what we're seeing is this huge amount of waste.
We have just a few seconds left, but there's a sea of advice out there, Tara, on how to save money. Mm. What is your best piece of financial advice for shopping smarter and living frugally?
Only buy the things that you really need. Think about it. Ignore adverts like the ones that I used to write, and then buy for the long term. You know, buy it secondhand by all means, but just buy stuff that lasts.
Buy stuff that lasts. And also, you know, hit that pause button before you decide to go ahead and make that purchase. I know that can be just so hard to hold back.
Yeah, intentionality is key. Absolutely. You know, buy things on your own terms, not because, you know, someone in some ad office somewhere, you know, made some beautiful ad to push out to the world.
Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. And hello to everyone out there.
Tara Button founded the website Buy Me Once and is the author of the book A Life Less Throwaway, The Lost Art of Buying for Life. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about the gift of seeing spirits.
Everyone likes a good ghost story, especially around this time of year. Dorothy Malone of Milwaukee shared a childhood encounter with the supernatural at X-Fabula's Story Slam Identity event held in March of 2020.
I was a little girl, and I was able to see ghosts. I could see them all the time, everywhere. Someone told me that if you throw salt over your shoulders, that would get rid of them. So I got every box of Morton salt I could find, and just tossing them, tossing them. Now I'm going down this dark picture, a dark hallway. I see a white shadowy figure. So now I'm cursing, not again, not again. You know, and I'm like, oh my God. So I'm trembling at about 10 years old. And I have heard that they cannot hurt you. You only can hurt yourself. Oh, that was, now I'm running in the walls, falling down the stairs, you know, outside at 3 o'clock in the morning. So as time went on, I heard that poltergeists will leave children by the time they're 13 years old. So I can't wait till I'm 13. I just can't wait. I mean, hurry up, you know, because all this time these ghosts are effing with me. So someone said, oh, if you curse them out, then they'll leave. So now I'm having a field day. I'm going to leave me to hell. My mother said, whoa, what's going on in there? So that didn't last too long because I got spanked. You know, I got whipped. You know, I'll be using that mouthwash, ivory soap, and all of that. But I'm thinking this would have the ghost leave me alone. Now, here I am at 13. No ghosts. I'm like, oh my God, they're gone, they're gone. Only to have one hovering above my bed. Now, I get the blanket, throw it over it, and give it a look. Go somewhere, I don't want to see you no more. It was howling too while it was up running there. I was doing all I beat this shit out of. But I learned I have a gift. And part of my identity is that I could, in black terms, read people. I can tell a little bit about your spirit by talking to you. I can tell, you know, you can't play a player, so I know if you're trying me, then I can tell that, you know. And I just have a way with babies. They would just look at me and like, that's a good person, that's the good one right there. And the little kids be like, a compliment all the time, I like your glasses, I like your wig. I'm like, thank you. Like, you know. So but going through that experience and always trying to find a meaning in life, or why I'm here, or looking to the cosmos for my existence. I think that had a part in it growing up with these ghostly images all around me. But today, you know, I'm at peace with them. I don't fear them as much. And that's my story.
Dorothy Malone's story comes to us from Xfabula, a storytelling organization based in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.